Chapter 14. Hope's End. Dior's face paled, her skin crawling as that dead boy's gaze met hers. Though the corpse spoke with a child's voice, it was he. She knew it. The Forever King. All the miles, all the blood, all the murder. All because of him. A monster who had haunted her dreams, hunted her through the waking world, watching her now through the pallid eyes of some poor murdered child, lips curling in a 10-ton smile. The air seemed colder, as if winter had fallen within that grim hall, Dior's breath rolling in white plumes from her lips. We felt him then, this sire of our sire, hammering upon the battlements of the Grail's mind. The air fairly rippled with it, Dior shuddering as he tried to pierce the veil of her thoughts. And though for all his dreadful power, the Forever King's efforts were in vain, still he whispered through that dead child's mouth,
"We meet at last, little one."
Dior shivered at those words, at the hunger in those eyes, and we could not help but wonder at all this. Day's death had been naught but a boon for monsters like Fabian Voss. And if Dior was the secret to ending this darkness, why under heaven did he want her alive rather than dead? What could Dior do we had not realized? What did he know about her that we did not? Fabian's puppet turned from Dior to Nikita, its smile growing wider.
"How fair, my old darling. An age hath it been."
Lily glowered, gesturing to the dead marionette.
"Be this the measure of a priore's worth in a forever king's eyes, to come afore his throne, clad in finery so rotten."
"My dear Contessa,"
the dead boy bowed,
"e'er have I held thy brother in deepest esteem. Well, you know this, but the miles betwixt us, like the years, sweet Lily, run treacherous and deep, and I have my own throne to sit."
"Pon no throne sit ye. Nearby must thou be to ride dead flesh to our halls."
Fabian's marionette chuckled, dragging pale hair from sharp teeth.
"Long years, as I said, e'en the changeless change in time. My dear, hast thou what now I am capable of?"
Nikita bristled.
"We know exact what thou art capable of."
"Ah, poor black heart, still broken. Time mends all wounds, my old darling."
Fabian's puppet tilted his head and smiled.
"E'en the ones I bestow."
Nikita snarled, snatching up the mighty greatsword behind his throne and bringing it to bear.
"Get thee and thy rabble gone, Fabian, afore I misplace my courtesy."
"Always hath he been quick to passion, Nikita, but thou art in the end no fool. Thou hast made a charnel house of Osway in thy haste to conquer it. Hungry months lie ahead of thee, and as we both of us know, error were ye possessed of a bottomless thirst."
The smile on the dead thing's lips vanished, its stare boring into Nikita's eyes.
"With 2,000 head to bolster thy ladder, thou couldst spend a comfortable summer here, then press across the Gulf of Wolves come the freeze. Our dear cousin Margot is weak, Nikita. Her blood lords scattered and squabbling. Thou hast strength enough to claim all the lands of Shastan, as well as Divok, as thine own."
pale eyes met Dior's, lashes gummed with blood.
One girl be not so heavy a prize when weighed against two thrones.
Be she worth so little? Why dost thou covet her?
Lily demanded. The puppet still stared at the grail, eyes cold.
Because she belongs to me.
Naught to do then with the power of her blood?
The Contessa asked.
The lion who safeguarded her, the sanguimancer who accompanied her.
Sanguimancer?
The puppet shook its head.
The faithless are extinguished, Lily. I saw to that centuries past.
The heartless scoffed.
Say we refuse thy generosity.
The puppet smiled.
No desire have I for unpleasantness betwixt us, dear Contessa. And be assured, nor do thee. E'en with the new vintage thee and thine art drinking of late.
The puppet's gaze drifted to the golden vial about Nikita's throat, then to Lily's eyes, the air fairly crackling between them. Prince growled beside her, the wolf's scarred face twisted as he rose, long fangs bared. And though she kept her expression as stone, Lily's eyes glittered with malice, one hand petting the beast's head to calm him. The marionette shifted its gaze back to Nikita.
Consider my offer, beloved. My gifts are already en route to Dunmergen. I assure thee that the legions traveling with them are simply to safeguard them on the journey. My dearest daughters shall await their arrival and thy reply at the banks of the Ord. In the meantime,
the dead thing smiled.
Think of me.
Fabian's puppet looked to Dior, the weight of hundreds of years in its gaze.
Soon, child.
The marionette shuddered, bloody lashes fluttering. The bitter chill in the hall receded, and then the forever king was gone, only that hollow dead boy in his wake.
Priore Divok, Lady Lily.
The terrors curtsied, brisk and formal.
Farewell.
With one final glance to Dior, Alba and Alain marched from the room, taking their cohort with them. Silence hung in their wake, 100 highbloods now watching Nikita, propping his mighty blade upon one shoulder and meeting his sister's burning gaze.
No need hath we for them, brother, she warned.
Need? Nikita replied. No, but use. That we may glean. We can trust them not at all, Priori, Cain warned. Water-blooded bastards all, the Dragan spat. Cowards and sheep.
They made short work of Nordland, the wolf mother pointed out, and their armies are poised to sweep across the Ranger River and take all Illidan.
Kiara's green eyes fell on Dior then, cold and hard. 2,000 cattle for one mouse seems a fine price to me.
Perhaps we'd not need so many, Alex muttered, glancing at Nikita. Were we not so keen to paint the walls with the ones we have?
Nikita's eyes narrowed at that, and Alex looked away swift. The Dragan set his lover off his lap, rose to his feet, scowling at Kiara.
You steal this pup from those dogs simply to hand her back when they bark, so swift to show your belly, cousin.
I stole nothing, Kiara growled, squaring up to her cousin. I claimed her on the field of battle, where afore me fell the Black Lion of Lorsin and those same two princes of forever. And if ye've a hunger to know how, step ye forward and I'll gladly give demonstration.
Alex sneered.
Try it, whelp. I'll tear your eyes out through your ass.
Enough!
Dior flinched, all eyes turning to Lily as she spoke. The Contessa sat with hand outstretched, studying her painted claws.
Ye speak of bartering property thou hast no owning of. This prize belongs to Lily, and with Lily it shall remain.
All due respect, great lady, Kiara said, but Nikita, not Lily, is priori here.
And Lily is eldest, the Dragan growled. Respect is owed for that, cousin.
Respect, aye, Soraya said. Yet obedience is paid not to the eldest, but the greatest. And Nikita is that. Who here in this court dares claim otherwise?
None spoke aloud, but many muttered, the length and breadth of that bloody hall. Lily glowered at her nieces, and looked around those whispering fiends, their dagger eyes and cutthroat smiles. Dior could only shudder at the sudden menace in the air. Nikita turned to his sister.
Kept we this child because she hath value to the voice. If that value be now measured in such a wealth of blood, should we not trade it?
Lily's face was stone, but in her gaze burned a terrible rage. Should we not stop first, brother, and consider why thy Fabian weighs her so heavy? Nikita's eyes narrowed slightly.
He be not my Fabian, Lily.
Once, though, and wouldst thou not have it so again? Or art thou simply so accustomed to kneeling afore him, thou wouldst do so again to stand as equal beside him?
Every lady around Dior took one step back, trembling. And though he kept his voice steady, as Nikita turned to his court, we saw the fury in his eyes.
Out!
The serving staff fled the hall, abandoning those poor fools still strung from the chandeliers. The vampires followed, those loyal to Nikita first, Aaron and Kiara among them. Others moved slower, the Dragan and Alex looking to Lily for approval before retiring. Yet the Contessa's mortal thralls remained, no small count of soldiers, her ladies trembling yet loyal. Worm on her belly before her throne, prince on his haunches beside it. Dior stood still among it all, head bowed, heart pounding like a hammer. When they were alone but for Lily's servants, the priore turned on his sister. His voice was gravelled with anger, one marbled fist at rest upon his blade.
Ye o'erstep, Lily.
Ye step blind, Nikita.
I see all. Perhaps what ye do not. Thou art no warrior, and hath never been. E'en with our weapon, should Fabian strike at us, victory shall be purchased dear.
No warrior, Lily, I, the Contessa nodded. But who was it that gave thee thy weapon, brother? Through Lily's design, thou hast conquered this wretched sty in but 2 years, where before we languished 15 in quagmire.
Ye speak truth, Nikita said, and ye know I am grateful. But why court conflict when Fabian offers advantage? We can use them, Lily.
Use them, she cried. He uses thee. Why think ye Vos offers us this feast?
Worm grunted as the Contessa stepped down off her throne, stabbing a claw at Dior.
Because she is worth more than 20 slit throats, Nikita. Then tell me how.
Dior flinched as the Black Heart rolled his massive blade off his shoulder and stabbed it into the floor, shattering the stone as he shouted.
What use this gormless slip to us? To dress as yet another doll? To primp thy hair and drape thy flesh and wait upon thee as fifth? Wherefore will not suffice? Her blood may heal the ill, and so one mouthful from either of us can mend the same.
I know not how, Lily snapped, But one more drop to her lips, and all her secrets are mine to plunder. The Asani blood witch who followed her did not do so out of charity. The black lion did not die defending her on a whim. I shall find her worth. Patience, brother.
And if our bloodlords be not so, already they quibble, ever they scheme. Should Fabian bring his host to bear, how soon before our court weigh this brat's life worth less than their forever's? And who shall stand gainst the terrors if they quail? Thee?
Nikita scoffed, cruel and cold.
In 7 centuries thou hast spent not one night upon the field of battle. While use they doubtless have, neither thy tongue nor quim can assuage the forever king.
Lily actually flinched at that, as if Nikita had struck her. With a snarl, she snatched up his sword from the splintered stone. It was almost half again her height, God knows how many times her weight. Yet Lily flung the weapon as if it were a twig. It flew across the room, and Dior gasped as it sheared through a bundle of those poor, dangling prisoners, bursting them like overfull waterskins. Gore sprayed, bright and thick, but Nikita's sword flew on, smashing one of the great pillars to splinters before crashing through the wall.
No warrior I be,
Lily hissed. But a kingdom have I yet brung thee with those gifts so swift dismissed. And though my sword arm be not so mighty, my heart hath twice the measure of thine own, Nikita.
300 years gone, and still thou wouldst forgive all if Fabian did not beckon thee. Be ye so content on hand and knee? Wouldst thou borrow my lady's dresses when next he asks thee to spread thy—
She got no further, her brother seizing her throat. As one, Lily's maids cried out as the Contessa was hauled into the air and smashed down into the floor so violently the whole room shuddered. A deafening boom cracked the windows around the hall, and Prince rose to his feet, fangs bared, hackles up. But as the great wolf gathered himself for a spring, Nikita's voice whipped the air, echoing on trembling walls.
Stop!
The beast stilled itself, ears pressed back, its pale blue eye glittering like sapphire. Through the settling dust, we saw Nikita looming over Lily now, hand on her neck.
Thou art my sister and mine elder, he growled. But speak ever so to me again, and thou shalt taste a reckoning undreamed.
Lily seized hold of his wrist as she glowered up at him.
Lay hand upon me again, and thou shalt taste that reckoning doubled. Think ye thou shalt defend this city without the Dragan's fleet, without Grey's or Alex's foul bloods, without that prize dangling about thy throat? All this have I given thee.
Through the tumbling dust, the heartless glowered up at her brother, squeezing the hand at her throat. She was strong, God, strong as the bones of the earth, and older than he besides. In nights before the death of days, nights where subterfuge and guile were worth 1,000 times the weight of swords, she'd have been his match. No, his queen. But these were nights of war, nights of chaos and conquest, where the blade cut sharper than the tongue, and deeds spoke louder than words. Deep beneath the belly of Suladair, the last Liathi sighed.
What a thing to pity such a monster. And yet I did.
And Dior, Jean-Francois asked, did she too look with pity upon her mistress?
She looked with dread,
Selene replied. She must have known there would be a price to pay for this humiliation. Nikita released his grip,
and Lily's ladies rushed to help their mistress. But the Heartless snarled as they touched her, and the swans slunk back, anguished, aching to help the one they adored, yet terrified of her wrath. Nikita stabbed one claw at Dior.
Find ye her worth, sister, and pray it be more than what we risk for her keeping. If it be not, night help thee both.
And without another word, he stalked from the room. Lily rose from the rubble, gown dusted in powdered stone. Prince slunk forward, the wolf's eye fixed on the door Nikita had left by, licking Lily's hand and whining. The Contessa brushed stone splinters from her hair, dragging off her broken crown. A lesser vampire might have done anything in that moment, flown into a rage, painted the walls, torn everyone and everything in that room apart. But Lily Divock did not lose control. She inflicted it.
Come here, poppet.
She did not use the whip, relying upon fear and the blood already at work in the girl's veins. But we knew she was strong, Dior La Chance, full of fire, and there was still some foolish part of us that expected her to fight, to spit, to defy as once she would have.
Instead, there was but a second's hesitation, and then Dior obeyed.
Lily drew a now familiar dagger from her bodice, and with her ladies watching like hawks, the Contessa slipped an arm about Dior's waist, lifted the knife between them, and ran her tongue up the blade, slicing it open. Lily licked her lips, slow, sumptuous, slicking them sticky red.
Drink, she breathed.
Again, no whip, no command, save for the blood twice tied between them. And again, wings beating frantic on her skin, we burned with hope the girl might resist. The minds of countless mortals had been overthrown by that blood. But Dior La Chance was the holy grail of San Michon, heir to the Prince of Heaven. Surely she'd not obey. But slipping arms around Lily's shoulders, Dior pressed her lips to the vampire's, as if to a cup of finest wine. The Heartless opened her mouth. Dior sighed, tongues flickering like candle flames. Lily ran a hand up Dior's throat, clawed fingers slipping into her hair, and the grail gasped as she was drawn closer, a drop of Lily's blood spilling down her knife to spatter on the floor, shattered like my heart to bear witness to that dreadful kiss. All was lost now. All hope was gone. The fate of every soul under heaven slaved to the eldest Divock outside of hell. All we had told her about Mother Marion would be made known, any chance of unearthing her lost. And more. Dior would surely tell Lily about us, that we lurked outside the city, a liathe of the hated Esani, wounded and frail. Should we flee now, we wondered, abandon Dior as lost? Or should we throw ourselves onto this fire, simply so I might beg, at least I tried, when I faced my maker on the day of judging? Damn you, Selene Castilla, we hissed. Damn you to hell. Lily pulled back slow from Dior's embrace, the grail moaning disappointment, lunging forward to suckle on the Contessa's tongue one last moment. Dior's eyes were glazed with passion as she gazed at her mistress, licking the blood from her lips.
I love you, she breathed.
The Contessa smiled, triumphant.
Do not love me, mortal. Adore me.
The swans flocked to Dior's side, giddy, like bridesmaids at a wedding feast. The red-headed sisters embraced her, whispering felicitations, and with a blood-stained smile, Dior hugged them back, eyes shining to know such a perfect, awful love. Prince watched on, the wolf's ears pressed back to his skull, tail between his legs. Worm remained on her belly, silent, eyes glittering in the aftermath of that terrible communion.
You belong to Lily now, Dieu la chance, the dame with the scarred chin declared. Not Fabienne, the red-headed maid whispered. Nor Alba or Alain, her sister smiled.
I am yours, mistress,
Dior vowed. Mine.
Lily looked the grail over, lips pursed.
Ye flew thy cage yestereve, pretty poppet, thy lock undone, as if 'twere smoke.
Dior sank to her knees immediately, hands clasped before her. Forgive me, I... Lily waved a hand, irritated.
The fault lies not with thee.
As Dior bowed her head and whispered thanks, Lily withdrew a familiar sliver of metal from her bodice. It gleamed in her fingers, iron hard and dagger thin. Worm blanched as the Contessa tossed the hairpin onto the stone before her.
Again ye fail me.
The serving girl breathed swift, mismatched eyes welling with an awful fear.
Forgive me, mistress. I was in haste after Laird and Nikita.
Speak not his name.
Lily's scream was an awful thing, the walls shaking with her fury.
I'm sorry, mistress,
Worm whispered, brow to the stone.
Please.
Lily stalked toward the prostrate girl, and Worm began to beg, voice rising with every step closer.
Oh, please, no, please, please, please.
The Contessa seized a fistful of strawberry blonde, and Worm shrieked, hauled to her knees. Lily gazed into the girl's eyes, emerald green and ocean blue. The pity I had felt for Lily was gone now, and where but a moment ago she had been at her brother's mercy, now this poor girl was at hers. Such is the way of things, we suppose. Those hurt will hurt in kind. Cruelty is an infection, spread from one victim to the next, an avalanche rolling ever downhill and crashing worst upon those at the bottom of the pile.
Not again,
Worm sobbed.
I love you. Please don't hurt me again.
Hush,
Lily whispered. The vampire caressed the girl's cheek, soft as silk, brushing the tears away.
Hush now, little failing. I shall punish thee not.
Thank you, oh God, thank...
They shall.
Worm sucked in one trembling breath, looking now to Lily's ladies. The three women stood in a half circle, faces gone pale as their mistress spoke.
Ye shall, she commanded them, and if ever the names of those Vos usurpers slip thy lips in my presence again, I shall gift thee twice the lesson. Test me not.
The Contessa let Worm collapse to the floor.
Now punish her.
Without hesitation, without pity, the ladies obeyed. With gorgeous velvet heels and heavy bejeweled hands, those beautiful swans descended on the maidservant like vultures to a corpse, kicking, hitting, spitting. Worm could only curl into a ball, wailing, arms up to protect her head as they struck her over and over again. Dior watched, her face death white but mute as stone. And looking into her eyes, Lily spoke.
Thee also, Dieu la chance. Punish her. This was the last of it. The final flame of hope inside us. It surged briefly. One moment where we thought we saw her tremble. But in a heartbeat, it was gone. Dior taking her place among the swans. And she kicked that poor maid. Again and again. The sounds were wet, tearing, worms' wails drowned beneath. And though to watch was all we could do, I could watch this no longer, taking wing and fleeing into the dark, away from that sobbing maid, that girl I had failed so terribly. I thought I could protect her. I had meant all for the best, but now I wondered if God were punishing me for what I had done. He had already chosen a guardian for his grail, after all, and in my hubris and my hate, I had let him fall. Outside the dun in the bitter storm, hidden in a copse of trees long dead, something stirred, scarecrow thin, urchin ragged. She'd once been clad in a fine red greatcoat, a porcelain mask at her face. But she wore a dead man's clothes now, filched from a graveyard in a frozen hamlet, her face wrapped in scraps of dirty cloth. Her skin was cracked and dusty, like a river parched beneath the long-lost sun, and her voice was a croak, a whisper, thrown to the raging sky with no hope of answer at all.
"Gabriel," I whispered. "Oh, God, where are you?"